You're listening to Colchonero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron, back from international break. My guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat, as on most Mondays, is Rob Walker. Rob Walker, the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat. He's a staff writer at Into the Calderon, and he's here to talk about Atletico's win at Malaga on Saturday, a fourth consecutive league win and a win that elevates Atletico into third place in La Liga. What a turnaround. We'll talk all about that game, plus preview the clash with Sociedad on Tuesday. That's the appetizer before Saturday's Madrid derby, and we'll hit on some news items. That's all coming up and more after this.
I feel like I get kind of a raw deal, but that's just how these things go.
Yeah, and I'm sure a bunch of people wanted to go, so.
Yeah. All right.
That's a bunch of neutrals.
So in the meantime, we do have a podcast to do.
Oh, we certainly do.
We do have things to discuss. We took international break off because no one cares about international break.
It was terrible.
It wasn't very good for Atletico, actually, because you saw Diego Godin got, like, skinned in their game against Uruguay's game against Peru. And then Belgium didn't win. They drew twice. And Antoine Griezmann got victimized by video assistant, by replays. And Kevin Gamero got hurt. It was not good. And Argentina, Angel Correa's side, are in trouble. So it wasn't really good for anyone.
Yeah, international breaks are more and more terrible, especially when they're at this point in the season.
Oh my god, I hate them. Like, you go 4 months without one, and then you have one, and it was a very long 2 weeks. Especially considering Atletico had been on a high.
Yeah, exactly. That's the last thing you want when you're on a good run of form. Yeah. When, you know, you're in the toilet, but you don't really mind.
Yeah, as we'll talk about, the break didn't really distract Atletico as they won on Saturday. But let's do the La Liga whip round, as ever. We start on Friday with an entertaining game at Cornea. Espanyol 2, Real Betis 1, 2 late goals for Quique Sanchez Flores' men, who are 5 points back of the final Europa League place, so they are still in it. That race is tightening up with some results this weekend. Another one was on Saturday, Villarreal 2, Eibar 3. Eibar going to La Cerámica and beating the Yellow Submarine. Very impressive display.
Yeah, Eibar amazing.
Yeah, they're flying high.
Such a budget. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yep, just the one loss in their last six. They're now 4 points back of Villarreal in sixth. Osasuna lost again. That shouldn't surprise anyone. 2-1 to Athletic, who are in seventh, and further heating up the Europa League race. Osasuna now 16 points off safety. I feel bad for them. Can we send them down to Segunda, like, right now so they can get a head start?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're greasing the wheels for that already.
They have been. They have done.
There's no ambiguity about it.
They have done. and the Real Sociedad is cooling down department. In the Real Sociedad are cooling down department. They drew with Leganés at home, 1-1. Not very good tune-up for Atletico on Tuesday, as we'll talk about, of course. On Sunday, speaking of teams that are cooling down, Sevilla and Sporting Gijón playing out a fairly entertaining goalless draw at the Pizjuan. But Sevilla, no wins in four. Sporting Gijón doing their best to get out of the relegation zone, but they're still 5 points back of Depor. Real Madrid 3, Alaves 0. Valencia 3, Deportivo La Coruña 0. And the late game Sunday was Granada and Barcelona that finished 4-1 to the Catalans. Looked for a while like Granada could maybe get something out of this. Did look for a little while like possibly they could. But of course not.
Yes, well, with this Barcelona team, they now have the confidence that they can beat anyone, no matter what the scoreline is, which is scary for everyone in the universe.
Yeah, it is. You're correct. And even those in other galaxies we don't know about.
Yes, most certainly.
Yes. And the game today, Monday, when we're...
That's where Messi's from, anyway.
It's true. That's what I've heard. He doesn't pay taxes there, either.
No, he certainly does not.
the game Monday, we're recording this Monday evening, Arizona time. Celta Vigo 3, Las Palmas 1, Giuseppe Rossi with a hat trick. He, of course, the man who ended Atletico's title hopes last season when he was at Levante. He scored a hat trick against Las Palmas today. So here is what the top six looks like before we get to discussing Atletico and Malaga. Real Madrid are top with their omnipresent game in hand on 68 points. Barcelona on 66. Atletico in third on 58. Sevilla in fourth on 58. Real Sociedad in fifth, a 9-point gap there on 49 points. Villarreal in sixth on 48. Let's track back to Saturday now and talk about the late game Saturday. Malaga nil, Atletico Madrid 2. That's Malaga nil, Atletico Madrid 2. Rob, I'd like to invite you into my time machine real quick. And I want us to go back about to match day 25. It was a 1-1 draw at the Riazor, Fernando Torres. So we were worried, honestly, that his career might be over. Atleti, with that draw, had fallen 9 points behind Sevilla and looking very much like they weren't going to be in next season's Champions League. It looked very much like they're not going to be in the top four. And my, how things have changed. Atleti have made up all 9 points in the span of 4 games by winning those last 4 games, including this one on Saturday. Did you see this coming at all? Because as we talked about on this program before, it's about taking league games in a vacuum as the form has just been so inconsistent, but this is the most consistent patch of the season, 4 wins on the trot.
Yeah, it's really hard to say at this point that this team isn't really hitting their stride at the exact right time, I'd say, with just a month to go, a little bit more in the season, and they've had some impressive victories, some good results as well, specifically in the Champions League, that 0-0 draw, and then to come back from a long international break and win 2-0 against a side that are threatened to go down, really. But, yeah, it was very impressive, for given the circumstances.
Would you argue that Atletico played well on Saturday? Because they were outshot 21-7. Malaga had more than 63% possession. Would you argue that they played well? Playing well is kind of a relative term.
Yeah, the difference for me is that I don't think they played well. However, I was never really nervous that Malaga were going to get back into it. They just seemed their final ball was off for most all the game, and then when they got into a good position, they couldn't finish worth anything. So, yeah, I wasn't too impressed with how they played, but after a long international break with a bunch of injuries, that is to be expected.
Yeah, they absorbed so much pressure. This was really vintage Atletico, right? Going back 3, 4, 5 years, this is kind of the grinded out kind of game that we have come to see from this team. Outshot 21-7 at Malaga, a team that is just 6 points off relegation. They really couldn't finish worth a damn. Like, they really, really struggled to get quality chances. The best chances they got came when they were behind 2-0.
Yeah, absolutely. And even then, they were having shots blocked and off target. They really were quite bad, and you can see why they haven't won in so long.
Yeah, and they're on their third manager this season. But I would argue that Atletico actually played well. I would argue that they played well, despite their attack looking disjointed. And the reason for that was because they started 4 central midfielders, because everyone's hurt. So they kind of really had no choice there, because Gaitán's hurt and Carrasco was suspended, so neither one of them could play. So you had to start Gabi, Koke, Saul, and Tomas in the middle, and that's really 4 central midfielders playing across the midfield. That's not great. It's why their attack looked kind of disjointed and why they were very much at their best on the counter. And they finished their chances, the few that they got. 2 pretty well-taken goals, both set up by Fernando Torres. Awesome.
Yeah, I think Fernando Torres is now the best accidental assister in the world. We thought it was Thomas Partey, but in fact it is Fernando Torres.
The first one was a complete accident. It was on the counter. Koke pinged a ball to him at the edge of the area. He tried to turn. He lost the ball, but he actually lost the ball. He did not mean to pass this or slip Koke through, but he did. Koke, in credit to him, he kept on his run, and he just was really able to roll it in past Carlos Kameni. Great accidental assist.
Yes, really wonderful. And right before the second goal as well, there was another one where he sort of fumbled it into Griezmann's path. So.
It was, yeah. And the second goal came after Malaga had really started to turn up the pressure but not really get close. Griezmann, I think, literally about 30 seconds or a minute before the goal, hit side netting or forced Kameni to knock it into side netting. Atletico recovered possession. Then Griezmann found Felipe, who found Torres, who tried to dribble to his left. This one might have been intentional. The second one might have been intentional. He might have seen Felipe coming and slipped it through to him for Felipe to do what he did, which was chip Kameni. Delicious goal. That was fantastic.
Yeah, what a way to get your first goal of the season. We've been saying that Felipe has been playing very well. So, very, very wonderful to see him amongst the goals.
Yeah, it's like he's been doing those his whole life. Like, wow.
Yeah, well, and I would agree with you that for the second goal, the assist may have been a bit
more legitimate,
or at least intentional.
I think it was.
Yeah. It's hard to tell from the angle, but I think you're right.
But the best part of this, however, was when Cholo threw on all four center backs in the final 5 minutes, because Malaga were coming close and Simeone was like, you know what, I don't want anything to do with this. I have to ease these guys back into the lineup anyway, so why not throw on Godin with 7 minutes to go? Why not throw on Jose Ma with 2 minutes to go? And they ran like I really think it was like a 6-4-0 or a 6-3-1 there. It was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, because if you look at the bench for the game, it was very light. Godin, Jose Ma, Angel Correa, and our fallen brother, Churchy, were on the bench. But other than that, it was youth team players.
Wanted him to play so bad.
Nope, still no.
Yeah, but I think...
Still not ahead of Angel Correa.
Roberto Olive was on the bench. Juan Moreno has been on the bench lately as kind of to just make up the numbers, but he was there too. It seemed like it would have been an opportunity to get those guys to play, but knowing Simeone and how often he has his eye on the prize and his eye on the ball, he just wanted to get out of there and get this result, which they did. It was a clean sheet. And thanks to the head-to-head advantage, Atletico are now in third, which is a pretty remarkable turn of events to pick up 4 straight wins, while Sevilla pick up 3 points from 4 games and score just 3 goals. Pretty remarkable turnaround.
Yeah, they're on a big-time slide, and Atleti really came from nowhere, really, and tipped them to third place. And, it wouldn't shock me at all if they held on to it for the rest of the season.
Yeah, do you think Atletico have earned this, or is it more a function of Sevilla just playing like they've been playing?
I think it's just kind of the way things naturally happen throughout a season. I think you're going to have periods of up and down. With Atleti, they had their down at the beginning of the season, but managed to get results here and there, and now towards the back end of the season, they're in a good position in terms of points, and way ahead on goal difference. Not that it matters, but still.
Yeah, Atletico are at a plus 31 goal difference now. I think Sevilla are plus 19, plus 18. Yeah, so a big advantage in goal difference and head-to-head. So Sevilla would have to finish with more points in order to get third place. And Sevilla go to Camp Nou in midweek. So not likely they're going to pick up more points there.
Yeah, good luck with that, Sevilla.
Yeah, not likely that's going to turn out well for them. Although it would give Sampaoli a chance to impress his future employers.
Yes, exactly. And I was just looking, actually, at the idea of now have the joint best defensive record in the league with Villarreal.
Amazing.
They've also been on a slide.
Amazing how that's happened. Yeah, 23 goals conceded. That is level with Villarreal. The next closest team is Barcelona at 26 conceded. And yeah, Atletico, it looks like they're peaking at the right time. And they have really turned it around since... I mentioned this after the Madrid derby in November, when Atletico were just demolished by Real Madrid, that Simeone needed to pick a style and go with it, for better or worse. Either he was going to commit to this more open, expansive style, take the lumps associated with it and see what happened, and maybe perhaps build for more with the future in mind, or he was going to go back to Cholismo. He's going to go back to this tried and true, trusty system and see where it led them this season. He picked the latter, and it's hard to argue that was a bad choice. It's hard to argue that he didn't make the right choice, because he did. Atleti are peaking at the right time, it seems, as we enter April, and yeah, the biggest month of the season.
It's kind of an adapted format of the Cholismo of a couple of years ago, but it is certainly more similar to than the free-flowing system we saw earlier.
Yeah, it is. And they have more technical quality than the early years. Than in the early years, you have players like Griezmann, Carrasco, Koke and has, I think, become a better player, a player who can really focus. You can focus the attack through him. He's rapidly becoming more of a tempo setter. So you have more technical quality, and they do play. They have like bits and pieces of an expansive style. And as you said, and it's adapted 4-4-2, but by and large, it is the system by which Simeone and Atletico have achieved raging success in the past, you know, 5+ years, almost 5.5 years. So I think Simeone made the right choice.
Yeah, I'd say so. And it as you say, it is an adapted 4-4-2. It's not the typical English version. So it's good to see that, because all the front players can sort of switch positions around throughout the whole game.
Right, because they do still move to 4-3-3 at times. You can see it at times. They are setting up in defensively in 4-3-3. They're also allowing players. Cholo has also allowed Griezmann to have the free roll. Yeah, he's allowing Koke to drift between the wing and the middle when Atletico are in transition. Carrasco is just blazes all over the place. So you have two, sometimes three players in free roles, while still maintaining structure, while still maintaining solidity. It seems like for now, at least for now, hopefully it will continue, but for now, Atleti have really struck that balance that they had been seeking all season and had tried very hard to recover, and they have found it now. And in the league especially, that's big, because their league form has, for a lot of the season, been pretty spotty.
Yeah, and even though it doesn't matter in terms of winning anything, securing that automatic Champions League spot is massive, and it sort of gives them confidence to go on against the games against Leicester coming up.
Yeah, and the Champions League, it pretty much all but certain now, with 9 weeks to go, Atleti have a 9-point edge on Sociedad, could be boosted to 12 on Tuesday. They have a 9-point edge on Sociedad, they have a 10-point edge on Villarreal, so it looks very, very much like Atleti will be in the Champions League for a fifth consecutive year, which is a club record. And they will be doing that at a stadium called Wanda. And that's, of course, assuming that it opens on time and all that. Assuming.
Yeah, a lot of assumptions.
So yeah, they'll be in the Champions League for the fifth consecutive year, which is pretty pretty dang impressive. It's looking very much like
that. Yeah, Champions League's fun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, except when you lose on penalties or, you know, have a miracle header in stoppage time. But let's not talk about that.
No. It's fine. We can go into it next year as defending champions.
I love the optimism. I love it.
Yes.
You were like my natural counter. I love it.
Yeah, it was good. Gotta have some irrational confidence.
Because I'm the more, okay, let's calm down. This is good, but let's see where it leads. You're like, you know what, screw it, man. We're not losing again this year. We're taking maximum points. Let's go. You are like that guy.
I'm going for it. Why not?
You are
just
going.
I'm feeling it. Look, if we were terrible, I wouldn't be saying it.
Yeah. That's pretty incredible. All right. So let's talk about Gabby. You want to talk about Gabby? I want to talk about Gabby. I'd like to talk about Gabby. I have written a column today. It's on Into the Calderon. It's titled, "Is This Gabby's Best Ever Season?" Now, I do answer that question in the column. I'm not going to really answer it here because I want you to, of course, read it. But I want to ask you, Rob, do you think this is Gabby's best ever season? Now, I want to give you some numbers first before you answer. This season, Gabby is averaging per 90 minutes a combined 5.1 tackles and interceptions. All right. Two and a half interceptions per 90 minutes is best in the last 4 years. In 2013-14, the year, of course, in which Atleti won La Liga, he made 5.7 tackles and interceptions combined per 90 minutes. So using that as a launching pad, do you think this is Gabby's best ever season? Also considering that the midfield has been a bit of a wreck at times, and he's still been quite consistently excellent.
Yeah, I would agree that he has been excellent all of this season. He's probably been the most consistent player in the team, if I were to say. But I think kind of this is sort of his best period. I don't know if season, because he was, I thought, truly, truly excellent at the end of the Champions League last year. In the final and the games leading up to it, he's just really a classy player that can do everything you really want out of a central midfielder. But I would perhaps lean on that. At age 33, he's certainly not young, but he has a ton of experience running that midfield, not just for Athletic, but for other La Liga clubs that are lower down. He's sensational. I'm not sure if this is his best ever season. We'll see how it goes towards the end, but he's certainly on track.
Well, if you want to know my answer, listener, go read the column. And, you know...
Yes. No spoilers.
I'm just plugging myself right here. You know, it's interesting because Gabby has had to change the way he... I make this point in the article that Gabby has had to change the way he's played in the last couple of seasons. He's no longer the guy who would... I mean, he still does quite a lot of running, but he's not the guy who runs relentlessly, tackles, sometimes crazily, can make mistakes, but he's not that kind of guy anymore. He's much more measured now. He has, I think, more of a tactical understanding of what Atleti are trying to do, what Atleti are trying to run, and he has... Listen, he's not as technical as the other midfielders that Atleti have acquired in the past couple of seasons. But he exerts more control in the center of the park. He's much calmer. He's more measured, and he has remained at the forefront of this stylistic shift that Simeone has pushed. And he's had to change his play, and I think we were in agreement on this, that he has been the most consistent midfielder this season. I mean, Koke has been wonderful as of late. Since the turn of the year, Koke has been awesome. Saul has been great as well. But I think taking the year from August to now we're in April, I think Gabby has probably been the most consistent midfielder. At 33 years old, that's nothing to sneeze at. He's 33.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, he's old. I mean, he can keep operating in that central midfield for quite some time, since he doesn't necessarily rely on his athleticism, more just his sort of determination to get the ball and start plays moving, whether or not, however, he doesn't have to play a Hollywood ball halfway across the pitch, but he can sometimes. But most of the time, he's just sort of orchestrating things and setting the pace.
He just does his thing, man. Like, you don't always notice Gabby, but you're like, hey, they like Malaga had the ball there. Oh, wait, now they don't. That's Gabby. You know, that's what he does. He doesn't always have to be noticed. He doesn't need to be noticed. He just does his thing. And he's always been there. He's always there. And he's been incredibly important this season as Atleti have struggled with their identity. They seem to have recovered it now. And he's been central to that as well. He's been great.
Well, Indy's the club captain, and having leaders like him and Godin on the field is truly massive. I think they make quite a big impact.
Yeah, it's essential. So we'll see how the next month and a half, maybe even 2 months, wink, wink, we'll see how that goes for Gabby. But yeah, I make my case in that article, so go read it. Let's talk about Sociedad.
Well, that also...
Okay. You got one last point?
Yeah, one last thing, I guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
I guess the interesting thing for me in this game was sort of Gabby up against Nacho Camacho of Malaga.
Yeah.
Two former Canteranos. A big difference shown between those two. Yeah.
Yeah, Camacho, of course, former Atletico player, former academy man. He has been linked with a return in the past, but he is pretty club captain of Malaga, is pretty happy there, and I wonder where Malaga would be without him. Yeah, that would be hard to imagine where they'd be.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. They would be totally gone without a trace, because it was rumored, I think, something like West Brom. Well,
yeah, West Brom. I think they met his buyout clause, but the deal, it fell apart in the last days of the window, and he stayed.
Unbelievable. They would be totally gone without him.
Yeah.
He's going to West Brom. Like,
oh, last thing. Mattress maker of the match. This was a tough one. On Twitter, I made up the poll. It was Koke, Felipe. Okay, let's say Koke, Felipe, Gabby, or Savage. That wasn't the exact poll, but I don't feel like looking it up right now. So, who was your mattress maker of the match?
I would probably say Koke for me. I think he was pretty instrumental throughout the game, not just the goal. I think he did quite well. Yeah, I'd go for Koke, or maybe Felipe Luis. He was pretty wonderful again too, and he has been these last few weeks.
Yeah, I'll take Felipe. He was awesome.
Yeah, I think that's fair. One or the other.
And he scored a chip, and I'm very partial to little chips like that. So he's my choice.
I would agree.
Very close.
Chips are a truly wonderful one.
Indeed. Okay, let's talk about
Carlos Kimmini. He shows up for big games.
So. Yeah, he does. He has shown up against Atletico before. So let's talk about Sociedad on Tuesday at the Calderon. A quick turnaround back to Madrid. I don't care about this game. Well, I do care, but a couple reasons why it's no longer as important as it was 2 weeks ago. Number one, Sevilla, as we mentioned, are going to play Barcelona midweek. They are probably not going to pick up points in that game. So anything Atletico get against Sociedad will put them in sole control of third place. Number two, I guess there are three reasons. Number two, Sociedad have been crap of late, which, you know, I'm not too surprised at, because this is a team that earlier this season gave up 5 goals to Deportivo. So I'm not too surprised that Sociedad are no longer doing that well. They've won only one of their last 5. They lost their 10th league game of the season. They drew their 4th league game of the season. They've already lost 10 in the league this season. They don't do well at the Calderon. Atletico are in very good form right now. So, I mean, they are getting William Jose back. They're getting him their top forward back for this game. So there's some danger there, but I would feel more confident about this if I were Atletico than I would have felt 2 weeks ago. Number three, you have the Madrid Derby on Saturday. We're not thinking too far ahead to the Derby yet, but we're going to have a ton of coverage on the website. We're going to do a couple podcasts on us, so do be on the lookout for that. But you have the Madrid Derby Saturday, and that game is going to be a marker for the rest of the season. At the Bernabeu, where Atleti have won the past 3 seasons, and if they're going to do it again, if they're going to get a creditable result there against the team that's going to win the league, I think, as I've thought since August, then they're going to need to play really, really well. So it would behoove them to maybe not take this. You know, they're going to play this game like a final. They're going to take the game to where they want it, like Simeone always says. But you can't lose sight of the derby. That's more important right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I also have my doubts about whether this is going to be a very good game or not. I could see it being a slugfest between these two. But
oh, yeah.
We shall see. It'll be an interesting game for sure. But as you say, the bigger game looms at the Death Star Stadium.
Yes, where Atleti have won the past 3 seasons. So that's on Saturday. And then you have Leicester. At home in the Champions League the following week. We're also going to be covering that a ton. But, yeah, of those 3 games, Sociedad, Real Madrid, and Leicester City, this is probably now the least important. Because Atleti have made up the gap. Sociedad are now 9 points back of Atleti. There's not really... And if Atleti win, they'll be 12 points clear of Sociedad, and then the race will really be over, as opposed to just pretty much over.
Yeah, if they win this game on Wednesday, it's a bonus, and it basically lets us breathe for the rest of the La Liga campaign, at least.
Yeah, it most certainly should. So that game is tomorrow, Tuesday. By the time this comes out, we'll be relatively close to kickoff. It's the late game Tuesday. Barcelona and Sevilla is Wednesday, and Real Madrid go to Leganés also on Wednesday. So yeah, you got a scoreline prediction in ya? Remember the last time we did this, you did pretty well predicting the 3-1 win over Sevilla.
Yes, which is kind of turned the season around a little kind of. So it added to a good run.
You want to make it 2-for-2?
But I'll go. I don't really want to say what I think it's going to be, but I think it'll be a nil-nil draw.
Oh, That's very unoptimistic of you.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. I get a slugfest feeling on this one. I don't know what it is.
I'm going to go 1-0 win. It will probably be a bad game. Neither team will probably play very well. I don't think there are going to be a lot of goals. Sociedad might get one. I could see them getting one, but I'm going to say 1-0 on a goal from. Well, Griezmann does like a goal against his old team, and he didn't play that well on Saturday. So I will choose Griezmann or Carrasco to score that goal.
Yep, I think we're in agreement. It's going to be fairly low scoring. So yeah, cue the 4-3 thriller.
Yeah, indeed. Or 2-2 or 3-2 or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't know. This one kind of reeks.
Yeah, let's get to a couple news items before we head out. This went up this morning from Robbie. Manchester United might be coming back for Jose Jimenez. Jose Ma, of course, can't stay fit. He was a substitute on Saturday at La Rosaleda. And he has a big release, a big buyout clause. Atletico are likely, if the transfer ban is overturned, they are going to make big signings this summer. That is the plan, and they're going to need to make a sale to finance it. Ergo, here is Jose Ma going elsewhere.
Frankly, of all sort of the best players at the club, this is the one I would mind leaving the least, I would say. Yeah, so just for me personally.
Yeah, like I've seen some Atletico supporters go like, why the hell would you want to sell Jose Ma? Well, because he can't stay healthy, because he has shown a proclivity to make massive errors that are crippling errors, and he has a huge buyout that someone in England will pay. Teams in England are that desperate and they are that rich. Someone will pay Atletico 40 or 50 million to take Jose Ma. Oh yeah, someone will do it. And you also have Lucas Hernandez, and Lucas has been great when he's played. Simeone wants to mold him into the first choice next to Godin next season, and one way to really facilitate that would be to sell his main competition, which is Jose Jimenez. And yeah, Jose Ma has great natural gifts. We've mentioned this before, how talented he is. His pace, his athleticism, his speed, his physicality. He could become like the archetypal center back, but he's not there yet, and he's only 22, and he's going to get better, but how long are Atleti going to wait, especially when you have Lucas waiting in the wings?
Yeah, and I really enjoy watching Lucas. I think he's been great this sort of second half of the season.
Yeah, he's been great. As long as he stays out of trouble off the pitch, then the future is his. The sky's the limit for him. So if the choice is between him and Jose Jimenez, which I think it is, it's not necessarily between Jose Ma and Stefan Savic, because Stefan Savic is going to be the backup, he will be a fine backup, as long as he doesn't start every week, which he won't if Lucas gets the time that Jose Ma currently gets.
Yeah, I think that'd be fine. And then perhaps a fourth center back just as potential cover, a youth team player or something like that.
Or yeah, you can find like a fourth center back. You can maybe bring up. I don't think there are any top flight prospects in the youth team in the youth ranks, but you can like Matteo Masaccio has been a name that they have been linked with in the past. You can find another center back. If you have Godin, Lucas, and Savic as your three center backs, you're already doing pretty well.
Yeah, and if you add a fourth, it's just even better.
In a perfect world, yes. Would I like to keep Jose Ma? Yes. Is it feasible? Not entirely, because he has that big buyout clause. United want him. This has been in the English press, but this report actually came from Mundo Deportivo. So, in the Catalan paper. So, yeah, I think Jose Ma could be tempted by this. I think Atletico could be tempted by it. I think a deal might get done. And that's if the transfer ban is overturned, which again we are expecting a decision on that in about 3 weeks.
Yep, that's an interesting one to keep your eyes on. It wouldn't break my heart to see him go, but and especially if it meant some other big players sticking around.
Yeah, like I don't want him to leave, but if you can get 50 million for him, yes, I will take 50 million, because that could finance a Lacazette, that could finance Alexis Sanchez is still being rumored. That could finance one of them. Or maybe a Vitolo.
Yep. I think that would be a quite sensible transfer, especially for upwards of 50 mil. That's a big overpay.
For future value, maybe not, but at this stage of his career, what's Jose Ma worth? Maybe 30 million?
Yeah, and they have more money than God anyway, so it doesn't matter.
At some point, Jose Ma might be worth that buyout clause, but he's not right now. If you can get someone to overpay for him, great. I would do it. I would still do it. Because if you didn't have Lucas Hernandez, I would be more reticent to do it. But they have Lucas Hernandez. So.
Yep, I'm good with it.
It's all cool, man. So yeah, the Alexis thing was also something I wanted to talk about. That's been in the papers again this week. I still think it'll be very tough to get him because he wants, the entire earth as his wage package. So no thank you.
Yes, he would cost a lot of money and he would want a lot of money. So like this one seems less likely.
He'd be great, but I'm not sure that he can afford to pay his wages.
No, there's no doubt in my mind he'd be sensational, but he's a very Simeone kind of player, but I don't think that's really feasible.
He'd be a perfect
fit. This point in club, PSG, I can see happening.
Yeah, but, PSG is, or maybe even, no, probably PSG, because Juventus bought Higuain last summer.
Right, yeah, I would imagine it's going to be somewhere outside of England, but you never know with these things.
Yeah. Apparently, Leon, I can't remember where I read this, but Leon apparently want both Hernandez brothers, Teo and Lucas, as part of a Lacazette deal. That's funny. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's.
I'm not doing that in a million years. You can keep Lacazette.
Yeah, what? Zinedine Zidane trying to tap up Teo Hernandez. Nope, that's not happening either, brother.
I saw that. That's just part of the standard unsettling.
That made me laugh.
That's part of the standard unsettling before a Madrid derby fanfare. There's nothing to that. Guarantee you there's nothing to that.
No, absolutely not, even a little bit.
Oh, whoops. Last week there was a report that Nico Gaitán is playing for his future at Atletico Madrid, as we've been saying I've been saying for a few months.
I would agree.
According to
I don't think that's much of a surprise.
According to AS, Atleti are getting fed up with him. And they would be willing to listen to offers if the ban... A lot of this is contingent on the ban being overturned. That is a theme here, in case you haven't noticed. So, Gaitán might be on his way out, which I first brought up in December, because he's been kind of bad this season, and right now Atleti haven't really needed him.
I don't even know if he's been bad. He's just been invisible. Like, I just don't really ever remember him doing much.
Like, okay, Simeone probably should have given him more of a shake, but Simeone doesn't really do that. Cholo is a guy where he signs a player, he gives you, a few games, basically. And if you don't do anything in those few games, then it takes you a while to get back into the team. Like, when Griezmann first arrived, it took him until the end of December to get into the starting 11. It took him 4 months. And this is how Simeone brings along new signings. And could it be a better system? Yes. Could it be perfected? Yes. But the point is, Gaitán had chances earlier this season that he didn't take. He had a few good games in December and January. But he's hurt right now. He has, a toe problem, complicated by arthritis, which is not a good thing to hear at 29 years old. But he was...
Yeah.
And when he's... played, he hasn't been great. Maybe bad is overstating it a little bit. He hasn't been great, though.
Yeah, no, he really hasn't. Money would be on China, personally, but, I could see that going his way.
Well, we'll see. Very briefly, there were reports of a training ground dust-up between Yannick Carrasco and Profe Ortega, Atleti's guru of a trainer. Apparently, it wasn't a big deal, but apparently there were no fisticuffs or anything. It wasn't a big deal, but they exchanged words at training, and it's probably not a big deal, but it's the week of the derby, and things are going to get reported like this, and they're going to get sensationalized. So just keep an eye out if you see any sensational reports of from Az or from Marca. Just be alert that they might not be all they seem.
Yep, and honestly, if a Simeone team wasn't getting a training ground dust-ups, I would be somewhat concerned.
Yeah, there is that element to it. Okay, what else we got? Anything?
I think that's it for this busy upcoming week.
Okay, awesome. It is indeed a busy week. We got the Derby, we have Leicester next week, so it's all happening, guys. This is when it gets real. It's getting very, very real now. This is the pivotal month of the season for Atleti. This is going to determine if they win anything this year. So we'll be covering it all for you. All right, well, I am going to proceed into the sign-off message. I'm going to ask Rob to stick around for just a second, the quickest of seconds. But you can follow Rob on Twitter in the meantime at rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter at jbbaron. I'm Jeremy Barron. That's JBBERN. Like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Not all of you are liking us. Fix it. You can also follow the blog on Twitter at Into the Calderon, and you can subscribe to and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colchonero Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. You can find us on all those platforms. So that does it for this edition of Colchonero Chat. We'd like to thank you for listening as ever, and we will catch you next time. Adios.